Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Off the Wall, behind the scenes at Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bomb for the best, expect the worst.
Off the Hook has been on the air since 1988 at WBAI in New York and is also widely distributed on the internet. Over the years, we have received many requests from our listeners to share what goes into the making of the award-winning program. And now, as a public service to our listeners, we are prepared to share what we have to go through week after week. And now, behind the scenes at Off the Hook.
Well, it's another Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for us to do another exciting edition of Off the Hook. And here we are at the Dog Run, Tompkins Square Park. I'm here with not Kevin. I guess that cruiser at the Dog Run. Looks like a fight's about to break out. You know, every week it's just, you know, I ask myself, am I going to do it this week, or am I just going to, like, hop on a train and go somewhere else instead? And, you know, I'm sorely tempted. But if I don't do it, I'm just going to be left to those other clowns to do something, and who knows what that's going to wind up being. So I guess I kind of have to show up. What do you think, Kevin?
Ever since I started doing this show, I've been going to a psychiatrist every week, and now I'm on a heavy dose of three different medications.
Well, what do you think our listeners are going through? You know, we get letters every single week from people. I mean, all our listeners are in therapy. And it's our fault, and they know it, and we know it. I honestly don't know why we keep doing it. If it was up to me, I'd just stay here and watch the dogs all day. So, all right. Do another show. Get it out of the way. One less show to do in my life. That's a positive way to look at it. So, I mean, I guess we should point out that, in all seriousness, like, you're not Kevin, because people are always confusing you with the other Kevin. And, I mean, you look, I know you don't like to hear this, but you do look exactly like him. And people are constantly stopping us in the street saying, are you Kevin? And in fact, your real name is Kevin. So if you say yes, then they're going to squeal and fall down and insist that you sign something on their body. So you just got to saying, I'm not Kevin. And that sort of stuck, right?
It did kind of stick, but it's gotten so bad at this point where I just play along with being Kevin Mitnick.
You shouldn't do that. He could sue you.
Well,
I mean, even booking speaking tours, I understand. You just spoke in the Philippines as Kevin Mitnick.
I've already done.
I don't think he's found out about it yet. I'll be sure not to air this part because I don't want him to find out. But seriously, you should knock that crap off.
Well, if no one can prove that I'm actually not real Kevin Mitnick.
I can prove it. Well, DNA test will prove it. Fingerprints will prove it. And Kevin Mitnick standing beside you saying, I'm Kevin Mitnick, not you, will prove it.
Well, no one would know if he stood side by side. They couldn't tell the difference.
I guess I should say that we've been doing Off the Hook in one form or another since 1988. And it's pretty much devolved into this massive ego trip for a small number of people. And we found out there's really no way for us to stop doing the show. Somehow, at WBAI, if you start doing a show, the only way for you to stop doing the show is to die. And you know, we've discussed that many times, methodology and cost and things like that. It's not as easy as you might think. And unfortunately, we seem to be stuck right now.
It's like doing mass amounts of heroin.
Well, doing mass amounts of heroin didn't help. Oh, you mean as far as the
addiction part.
Okay, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. Well, I mean, I'm not addicted to it. I want to get out of it, but it's like the station is addicted to it. You know, the station is like the addict. And we're the drug. Hey, that's kind of cool, isn't it? We're the drug. We must be flushed from the system. Is today National Skateboard Day or something? All of a sudden, everybody's coming down the street on skateboards. I mean, seriously, there's skateboarders as far as the eye can see. Remind me that I have to have a talk with Jim after the show today.
About what?
About his future. This is what always happens to me. I don't know if there's a word for it, but I think there should be a word for it. When a train shows up on every track but yours. That always happens to me. Every time I'm at a subway station, there's four tracks and all the other tracks get trains and I don't get crap. Except frustrated, that's what I get. Oh, and look, another one. Yet another one coming down the express track. Here's our train. That train is disgusting. So, off the record, because Mike's not on now, who on the show do you dislike the most?
I'm going to go with Redbird.
Redbird, yeah. Yeah. He's annoying, isn't he?
He's way too smart. I think he makes most of the stuff, more stuff up than I do.
Oh, yeah, he's full of it. There's no question about that. But, you know, for me, it's mostly like, whenever he makes a point, he gives you that smug sort of glance. You know what I mean? He just sort of looks at you like, I'm superior to you, and you can never attain what I am. And it just makes me jump over the console and smack him around, you know? But apparently there's some kind of station law against that, and I can't. I have to wait till I go outside, and he's always, like, eluding me by then. Anyone else?
I'm going to have to go with Walter.
Walter's not even there anymore.
I know, that's my reason.
Because we had to have him, well, all right, let's not get into why he's no longer around, but let's just say...
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We had, actually, it's kind of an appropriate exit for Walter, and the closing doors certainly. No, we had our good times with Walter, and we have our memories. And I probably should just stop there. No, an existing person. I mean, an existing person on the radio that is currently on the air.
Well, I think my number two choice would be Mike.
Mike is annoying, isn't he?
He's way too right-wing.
What's up with that? I mean, you wouldn't know it to look at him, but the guy is, like, further to the right than the Pope. Oh, he's going on about the freedom of religion and praying in schools and the rights of the unborn. You know, corporate power, that kind of thing. How about sticking up for the little guy? How about sticking up for the individual? How about getting off the train? This is our stop. Well, now we get to walk all the way down Wall Street, which is a fortress. Probably be detained by the police or shot or something. See, the thing is, when we come to Wall Street, everybody else is leaving Wall Street, so it's like we're swimming upstream against all these people that are leaving, and they all look very unhappy because they've put in a full day of work, and they realize that they're working for, like, nothing. They're working, their lives are meaningless. They doing the same thing day in and day out. Yeah, you hear me. Boy, the dirty looks you get when you say things like that. It's true, though. It's true. I would never be caught dead on Wall Street.
I really hate people.
Well, people suck. There's no question about that. But let me just point out, we are, in fact, on Wall Street, as we're saying. We'll never be caught on Wall Street. But the reason for that is because that's where the station is, and we're coming after hours anyway. So in a way, that's sort of, like, cool.
You see a bus?
Well, I'd take a bus, except there's no traffic on this street. They closed off the whole street to everything but tanks and mines. It's like a demilitarized zone here now. Sharpshooters, cops, armored vehicles.
Postal trucks.
Postal trucks. Those swine. You know, there's one person you forgot to mention, and I think I know why. And that's Bernie.
Oh, Bernie.
Of course, the reason we're hesitant, even when the microphone is not on, to say anything about Bernie is because of the, there's no other way to say it, the fear that we have. I'm not even comfortable talking about it to you personally, because the guy just, he just makes me quiver with, wondering what he's going to do next, what kind of horrible thing he's going to have in store for us. I mean, that's why he's on the radio every week, because pretty much it's been explained to us that horrible things await us if we ever don't reach him on the phone. No matter how bad the connection sounds, we have to talk to him and hope that we don't screw anything up. Usually there's some kind of a memo that's issued after every show with the things that he's displeased with, and then we have to fix those things. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why the show has become not so much enjoyable for me, but more frightening for me, because I'm so worried about what I might say to displease Bernie and the ramifications of that afterwards. I mean, he seized one of my cars as a penalty for, and it wasn't even my fault. When the phone disconnected that one time, I think it was like in January, like, I was pressing a button. I was trying to three-way something in on the air, and it disconnected. I didn't do it. I mean, you guys will stand up for me on that. I didn't do it. It just somehow disconnected, and I knew I was in trouble, but I kind of didn't expect that. You know, I didn't expect the seizure notice to be waiting for me the next day, actually. I don't know how he got it out so fast. All right, this is my favorite part of the whole evening, where we have to present ID to get into the building. Week after week, the guy knows us, but week after week, we have to keep showing ID to the guy that already knows us. And I always show the ID that's the most ridiculous of all. It's just a BJ's card, which is like a Price Club type of place, with my picture printed in really, really pathetic style. But it's ID, so it has to be accepted. Hit the button, please. I don't have the energy. All right. Let's try and maintain good composure here. We both feel like crap. Neither one of us wants to be here. I'm sure those guys don't want to see us. But when we go into that room, let's at least pretend like we're happy to see them. Well, okay. Let's pretend that we're not displeased to see them. That's hard, too. Let's just try not to kill each other.
Let's try not to talk to them.
Yeah, but we have to. It's radio. You know, no one's figured out a way for us not to talk to people on the radio. I mean, I'm sure, I sure hope we do sometime.
Well, I got the door, don't worry.
Thank you very much. It's your job, after all. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Mike. Nice to see you.
Yeah, we're happy to see you. We're doing a documentary on Off the Hook for Off the Wall. Behind the scenes at Off the Hook.
They will not make that mistake again. We the Shiites know.
What? You came in here with a printer test page? Is this some kind of joke? This is what you're going to read on the air, is printer test page?
Yes.
Colors. You know, I'm sorry. I just can't be quiet. His disrespect just goes over all borders, all right? We're here. We're all trying. None of us want to be here. We're trying to get through this day, and he's just mocking us. You just missed it. While you were gone, Mike got a call from Bernie.
Call.
Yeah, and apparently Bernie is sick. He's coughing. And he directed us at great personal risk if we even think of cutting him off when he's coughing, that we are going to pay a very dear price. Was that the words he used?
Just something like that.
You know, I'm not going to say anything publicly about this, but man, the fear that we live under with that guy is just, it's too much.
He also added that next week he'll be in Poland.
Are we supposed to, like, run a phone line to Poland or something?
I don't know.
My blood pressure, there's like, my doctor even has a word for it, the Bernie S, like, addition to my blood pressure, because it's purely caused by the stress having to deal with him.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what he says. I'm no doctor, so. All right, well, let's look for Jim. He's always cheering us up.
Sit down.
Oh, there's one over there.
And there's also one over there.
These are the words we must not say. Shit, piss, fuck, fucker, FCC violations. Okay.
Seven
FCC violations. But you can say piss. Well, I say all the time. I mean, I can't believe piss is even on the list. I think that might be a little outdated.
Is there a hotline you can call at the FCC to tell you the...
Well, I don't know.
Words of the
week? It would be helpful, but what I'd like to also know is... I only see singular on there. Like, you know, I see c***, but I don't see z, you know? So, I mean, I'm not trying to be a prick here, which is something I can say. Why did they print the same sign twice, except once in uppercase and once in lowercase?
They did that?
Yeah, look at that. And the second one is underlined.
It's underlined.
How crazy is that? Someone actually went to the trouble of making the same sign twice,
well,
once
one, in... One is the seven words you must not use. That's the uppercase. The other is seven dirty words.
Yeah, but they're the same words in the same order. I almost slipped last week. I almost, like, when I was talking to Bernie live, I almost called him Kim Jong-il to his face. You know how we always joke about how he's actually Kim Jong-il? And the thing is, like, you know, when we call him, we have to make it like we want to call him, and he's the one who's reluctant about talking on the air, you know, because he's sick. When in actuality, we know the truth that he's demanding that we call him. All right. Mike, will you place the call to Bernie S., please?
Dreading.
Yeah, I know, but imagine what's going to happen if you don't place the call, okay? Remember the memo last week? We were, like, too tight. It was, like, a minute before the show instead of the 2 minutes. Oh, my God, it's, like, a minute 15. This is your fault, man, not mine.
Later. Hello. We were thinking that the show would be enhanced if there were more coughing on it, so... Enhanced if there were more coughing.
Dude, be careful.
Okay. Yes, but I have to hang up first or you'll get a busy signal.
Oh, God, if you got him in a bad mood, it's your funeral.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
This is media. These comments are produced by Noel Hammerhead.
Where is everybody?
You've been listening to Free Speech Radio News from KPFK in Los Angeles. This is Ara Bogado.
Hi. God, I so don't want to be here. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook, or it's about to be Off the Hook. You're listening to WBAI in New York. It's 7 o'clock. Yeah, I said everything out of order. I'm all screwed up. I'm so nervous. Oh. I can't. Oh, God, I'm going to pull this off. Okay. Calm down. All right, well, skeleton crew tonight. Mike is here.
Hi.
And not Kevin on the other side of the room.
Hey, hello.
And Bernie S., I believe you're joining us from down there in Philadelphia.
I am, from a landline, so you'll hear my dry cough with greater fidelity.
Well, of course, Bernie, we insist that you be on the air because of what you bring to the listeners, and we're all thrilled to have you, sick or not sick, and your voice sounds, I would say, better than ever.
You mean the pathogens I'll bring to the listening audience?
In all honesty, I can't even tell you're sick. You sound great.
Give me time.
Okay, you have all the time in the world. All right, so, I'm gesundheit.
Maybe other people will show up. I don't know. But we have plenty of things to talk about either way. And what I'd like to do tonight is talk to a lot of listeners.
I wanted to call. I kept calling. I couldn't get through.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the copiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk about your RFID passport stealing scheme. You guys got it all wrong.
What did I get wrong?
The point of the article, it took 4 hours.
What took 4 hours? So wait, you're saying Mike was completely wrong on the air.
Well, not that he was completely wrong, but the whole, you missed the point of the story. First of all, it took him 4 hours. There's a challenge response mechanism that keeps, like, the key. You have to have a key to get the data off the chip, and it took him 4 hours to deduce the key. And then once they got the correct key, they were able to suck the data off the chip quickly.
So it didn't take 4 hours just to get it off the...
Well, yeah, but to find an encryption key in 4 hours is pretty fast. So, I mean, they're just, it's weakly protected. So if you're the type of person who wants to steal someone's passport information, you can do it in a relatively short amount of time. Also, they're delivered in distinctive envelopes that anyone looking at the outside of the envelope can tell that that's an RFID passport being delivered.
Because it probably says RFID passport being delivered.
It doesn't. It doesn't say this is a passport on it, but if you've gotten one, they all look the same, apparently. So anyone who's in the business of stealing someone's passport information to clone it and sell it to terrorists, say, can easily find them in people's mailboxes or if you work for a courier company that's delivering them. But the point is, since they're RFID, you can steal all the data you need to copy that passport without ever opening the envelope and alerting the actual recipient that anything happened.
Jones, why in God's name weren't you in the studio telling us this? I mean, we messed up. We gave the wrong information out over the air. We did a bad job, and you're out there on the highway somewhere. And
I was frantically trying to call, but you were busy reading letters.
And also apparently disconnecting people after 5 rings, because that's what our phone system does.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Oh, well. I'm just worried that I might have offended Bernie because of the way I interrupted him once. And you know how Bernie gets. He's a terror. I'm afraid.
Oh,
Mike, you really messed up on this. Jones just told me all about it. Mike's angry now. This is what happens after the show. Apparently, we also offended Jim and Redbird because they're not speaking to us either. They didn't even show up tonight.
Arseny?
I mean, yeah, the last words he said to me can't even be printed or said. So it's like, it's not, people think it's paradise at Off the Hook, and it's not really. It's a lot of drama. It's like, what's that show on, reality show where people are in the same house and they go.
Big Brother?
Is it Big Brother?
Yeah.
I thought it was like something on MTV. Is that another one?
Oh, I don't know. Road Rules, Real Life.
Real Life, that was it. But this, this is far from real life, I hope, for the sake of other people. Yeah, so I guess you're seeing some of the grit involved in bringing this radio show to you. And you're involved in the behind-the-scenes part, which is also not pretty.
No.
I mean, people think it's glamorous. You know, we don't even get limousines here anymore. I had to walk. Well, I was recording this earlier. I had to actually get on the subway with all those people, you know.
Oh, God.
Ugh. And deal with that, all right, and come down here, and then walk down the street, walk down Wall Street, and pass all the stockbrokers on the way out.
It's a shame.
Now, back in the day, back in the dot-com era, we were able to, get a nice, a bar, facility inside the limousine as well, and it was good. It was good. And we went on the air, we were in a much better mood. This is bad that these people aren't here, because I really had to talk to Jim. You know what I've been putting off for such a long time about his future on the program? See, here's the thing.
You're passing on the torch to Jim, are you?
Well... I mean, usually when people show up, we've got like 18 people in the studio when you include probation officers and lawyers and things like that. And the fact of the matter is that the station needs the chair that Jim uses. No, seriously, the program director has no place to sit. And we have to give that chair back. And FCC rules prohibit you from standing during a broadcast. So you have to make a sacrifice somewhere. Jim, unfortunately, got the short straw. But I can't tell him that if he's not here.
That as a reason. He wasn't here this week, so we
gave him. Yeah, I guess we could discipline him. And
gentlemen in front of sheet number one.
We're on page one.
Page one. Pick up,
and this gentleman here, number two.
Signing out is as fun as signing in.
Go for bed.
Best call to your house.
Mike, could you sign me out, please? Thank you. It's the kind of thing we do for each other, is we sign each other out sometimes, even though we're not supposed to do it that way. It's not really like laying down your life for someone, but it's a small thing. I was hoping we'd get like a recording of all the bickering of where to go to eat. And now there's only three of us. We can't bicker as much.
We can still bicker.
All right, let's bicker.
Let's go to...
No, I don't like that idea.
Angelica.
Ew, ew, gross. Cooties.
All right. Emmanuel vetoes that. The other thing is, you know, I work for a copier company, right? So I know about these things. The copiers have been logging your copies for years and years and years.
You're just a source of information tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Too bad you weren't on the air at all.
I remember wandering through some random department at work and printing out an old log file, and it turned out to be some guy's divorce papers. Yeah. He probably shouldn't have been copying those at work, but yeah.
Really? This was how long ago?
At least 3 years ago. But now, well, the trend is moving towards keeping stuff on the copier. Like, you know, scan something in and then manipulate it somehow and then, like, print it out, and it's there for you to print out whenever you want. So that's more, the companies are moving more towards that model of printing, so they need storage on the copier and it tends to remember things. But the company I work for, actually, I won't name names, but they've actually introduced now a feature where you can securely wipe the hard drive.
Yeah, but how do you know they're actually doing it?
Well, they tell us that it adheres to whatever the government standard is for overwriting data 100 times.
The government standard is that they get a copy of everything.
Well, there's that DoD standard or NSA standard, whatever it is. Do you remember? Some government agency came up with a standard for destroying data securely, and that's what this thing does. But I think it's geared more towards companies that want to get rid of a copier or sell it and, you know, not have company secrets leak, as opposed to protecting the employee who walks up and copies divorce papers on it.
Well, let's say I'm somebody who's interested in reading information off a copy machine that does not belong to me, because I am somebody who's interested in reading information off a copy machine that doesn't belong to me.
Uh-huh.
And how would I go about doing that? I buy, say, a used copier from somebody. What do I do to get that information?
Well, you could do that. There's like a menu item right on the front panel that's like lets you look at previous jobs, and you just kind of scroll down through the list. You may not be able to tell what they are, but it'll tell you.
You can't save every single job ever printed.
It depends on how much room it's got. Sometimes they do. Sometimes I've seen copiers at work that store stuff from months and months ago. So, yeah, it depends.
What about fax machines?
Fax machines? Maybe. I don't really know. I don't see why not. But, yeah, generally you just flip through the log and hit one, and reprint is usually one of the options, and it'll come out.
I don't know. It's pretty scary stuff. We certainly could have used some more scary stuff on the air tonight. But
sorry, I wasn't there.
So what are we going to do about all coffee?
We could start a message board.
Crying out loud. We always have to save things. This is getting ridiculous.
I'm under the impression that it's still owned by the same people.
Right.
And they're just changing the name and maybe updating the insides a little bit.
They're changing the name and letting babies in.
Yeah.
Well,
there ain't going to be babies there when we're there. So I'm taking the wait-and-see approach. We'll see what happens.
They're having a wake.
Yeah, I saw
How
that.
How many people's wakes have you gone to where you've been able to do stuff with them afterwards?
I don't know.
Yeah,
do you believe in reincarnation? That would be a qualifying question.
I'll have to when I cafe goes.
Yeah, maybe that's what's going to happen.
But come on, Alta Coffee, Hopscotch.
Yeah,
Hopscotch. Let's go to Hopscotch.
I'm not thrilled with the name.
No.
But
maybe Hopscotch in the daytime.
Alta
Coffee at night.
To be honest, they don't really advertise the Alt. Coffee name anywhere on the outside.
It's Alt. Cafe, technically.
It says coffees and computers on the outside of the building. It doesn't really say. They have a little sign that they stick out front, but you could miss that.
There's going to be toys and rattles and things that we're going to be sitting on all the time.
They're going to put it away, apparently.
They say they're going to put it away.
Yeah. Well, we'll hold
on
to that.
Have you ever been in a household with toddlers? All right? You were supposed to put your toys away. You didn't put them away.
That's
and
true.
Now I fell down the stairs and you stupid rattled that you left.
That's true. Well,
that's going to happen.
There aren't any stairs there.
Aren't any stairs,
so
but
good.
Come on. You get the point. They're going to fall on the floor then. That's not going to be pleasant.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. It might not be bad. But we can just pretend it's still coffee.
I mean, if that place wasn't there, where in God's name would we go?
I was thinking that myself. I don't know. Before, when I started reading the article, I thought, oh my God, they're closing forever, and we won't have anywhere to go.
We need to have a talk with them tonight.
Hello.
Wow, it's really late at night now. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's really late.
I'm still kind of stunned by the show because...
if this were a week ago, it would only be 12.
You know, you're right. If it was a week ago, it would be 12 because of the daylight savings stupidity.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that. Somebody's supposed to save something, but all I'm hearing is that everybody is like spending more to
really?
Do this, whether it be to like figure out how to set their clock
and
then not set the clock again in April.
All the computers and cell phones came to a screeching
halt.
Yeah.
Now, when you're standing here, where we're standing right now, all kinds of weird people walk by, so they expect all kinds of strange things. We're standing right outside the Alt Cafe, also known as Alt Coffee, which we talked about on the air tonight, as a place that we want to try to save. It's turning into another kind of cafe, and we had a long talk with one of the people there tonight, and kind of seemed a little bit reassuring that we might be able to save the place and still be able to hang out there if people come and buy stuff,
you
know, don't completely go out of business. Because it's cool to just be able to hang out at this hour on a busy street in the East Village and talk to your friends and meet other people.
I don't think it'll be nicer, according to him. It'll be cleaner and upgraded, but, you know, there are just not going to be kids here this late.
Well, there shouldn't be kids here this late. They should be home doing something.
That's like daytime. The kids will come spend their money.
Well, you mean the toddlers?
Yeah.
Okay, I meant like, you know, the more grown-up kids. But
they
shouldn't be here either. They should be...
Toddlers.
...studying or enlisting in the military or something.
Yeah. Spending money at Alt in the daytime.
Yeah. See, we call it Alt because that's what's known to us as.
Alt.coffee,
we just call it Alt for short. I don't know if I can say hopscotch. It just doesn't sound right.
But, it'll always be Alt to us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the first few times I said Freedom Downtime, it didn't make any sense. And I didn't like the name 2600 when that started.
Really?
No, I hated it.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I guess names just grow on you.
They really do.
Apparently.
Jones.
Yes.
What people ask all the time, what does your name mean? J-U-I-N-T-Z is how you spell it. But what
yes.
exactly, what's the etymology of that word?
Well, it's a derivation of junior. It started out, you know... as a junior and then turned into Junie and finally Junes.
Junie?
Yeah.
Okay, and how did you get to Junes from there?
Well, I worked with some strange people.
Okay. We're standing here on Avenue A, just south of 9th Street. The park across the street is closed and people are still walking their dogs and wheeling their baby carriages in some cases. You know, the toddlers may come out. They may come to this cafe in the middle of the night, who knows?
Well.
Let's hope not, though. Just up the block is a pizza place, which is very crowded with people. It's Nino's.
Yeah.
Everybody goes there. And, of course, one of our favorite bars, Lucy's, is in between us and that right now.
It's kind of quiet tonight, though. Usually spilling out onto the sidewalk by now.
That's true. We could probably even have a conversation like this inside Lucy's and not be too drowned out by the music, but I wouldn't advise it.
No. Bad idea.
Yeah.
You can't get drunk on the air here.
Well, I can because I'm pre-recorded. No, I could get totally smashed pre-recorded. But, no, seriously, I'm worried about the show tonight that we did. I've been sort of, like, quiet tonight. I don't know if you noticed. I'm sort of worried because of the time I cut Bernie S. off and how he's going to react to that.
And perhaps by the time you get to the counter, forget why you went to the post office in the first place. just 1 second, Bernie. They've been removed. Confirmed Stephen C. Walster, a Dallas spokesman for the Postal Service, which is an independent agency of the federal government's executive branch. We want people to focus on Postal Service and not the clock. I'm sorry, Bernie. Go ahead.
It's okay. I noticed here...
There was that whole incident in January, and I really would not like a repetition of that. So, I don't know. I think what I'll do is I'll send him some kind of apology tomorrow, maybe some flowers or something.
That's a good idea.
It's the best I can do. Maybe some cough medicine? Would that be just...
Yeah.
That might be sort of mocking. I don't want to be accused of that.
I don't know. You don't want to get him on your bad side, though.
Well, that's what I'm afraid. He might
be
on
his
my
bad side
already. Right. Oh, yeah, his bad side. No, he's not somebody you want as an enemy. That's for damn sure.
No.
Apart from that, I thought it went okay. As it turns out, all the people didn't show up because Bernie had them, like... Well, I don't want to say locked up, but just sort of kept from coming to the station for, like, some kind of questioning because he didn't like what they said the last time they were on the air. And, you know, I'm sure he has his reasons for doing this. I'm sure Jim and Redbird and Arseny will tell us what happened. Or maybe they shouldn't tell us what happened. But, you know, he's got to do what he thinks is right, and I totally support that.
Mm.
So, you know, we had a smaller crew tonight on the show. I understand now why that happened. Everybody's okay, from what I understand, but, you know, if they're not okay, then they probably brought it on themselves. So we'll just have to continue. Hmm. Not that I really want to be honest. I'm trying to get out of this whole thing. As I was telling not Kevin before. And he ran away.
Yes,
after
I
the
saw.
Show. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Something terrified him. I don't know what it was. See, this is why I felt compelled to do this kind of a show where we sort of explain what goes on behind the scenes. Because there's a lot of kids out there that want to get into radio. And we're here to tell you that, dudes, it's not what you think. It's not cool. It's like, it can be a nightmare sometimes. You live your life in fear. You never know who's going to come at you next.
Right.
Nobody really cares what you have to say.
And nobody would know, because you're a very good actor on the air. You're very amiable to each other. And yeah.
Well, what I have to take before I go on the air to sound so amiable and nice and like I actually enjoy life is stuff that is getting increasingly hard to get with all the, you know, drug laws that are taking effect. And I have to be really careful as far as just, like, you know, who my supplier is this particular week. And it's, I gotta tell you, you know, maybe it's getting older too, but it's getting harder and harder just to put on a good face.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want this to be about my problems. I just want to be honest with people that it's a rat race out there, you know. It's tough. Radio is not the carnival that some people seem to think it is. It's a bit tricky. There's a job in sanitation opening up that I was looking at, actually, in Brooklyn.
That's pretty lucrative.
It's lucrative. I'd be working nights.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, it's time for something different. But enough about that. What else has been going on in the world lately? I don't know. Is there anything we didn't get to tonight? Of course, you corrected us about all the things that we got wrong tonight. Oh, well, about the, what was it? About, you know, the thing Mike messed up. What was it?
What did Mike mess up?
I don't know. I totally forget.
Oh, the story about the RFID passports.
About the RFID passports.
Yeah.
Missed the whole point. Yeah, missed the whole point.
Yeah.
Not the first time we missed the whole point. It's embarrassing. But, no, here's the thing. This wasn't our fault. In fact, we were even talking about this. Somebody wrote in to talk about how they couldn't hear somebody because they were talking lower. And I explained. I really went to a lot of trouble to explain this, how we record the show in the studio, and what that means is that the compression doesn't kick in. Now, Jones, maybe you could explain compression better than I can.
Well, there's, you know, MP3 compression, but that's not what we're talking about here. No. I guess it is kind of hard to explain, isn't it? It's where that you compress the highs and the lows together so the waveform is less dynamic, and then you can boost the volume completely and the highs don't go up as loud as the lows go up. I don't know.
So it basically means that if somebody...
It levels out the volume, more or less.
If somebody's talking louder than someone else is talking softly, the volume on the person's voice is talking softly kind of goes up, but you also hear sort of a hiss, like, behind them when they're not saying anything. It's sort of like a hiss of compression.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think that's compression. It's basically you're just increasing the volume on the lower, the quieter parts without affecting the louder parts in the same way.
It makes you sound more powerful. If you go to a religious station and just listen to the voices in the religious station, everybody sounds like the voice of God. And the reason for that, they really have a lot of compression, and it just makes the voice more powerful.
Well, at the religious stations, they have the voice of God.
They do.
That is God speaking.
They have God legal IDs, you know, and various things like that, which I think are rather inappropriate. So that's what happens. We record the show before the compression kicks in, so what you may hear is someone speaking louder than somebody else, and it might seem a little uneven. Not much we can do about it because that's where the machine is. However, tonight, as it turns out, that machine, well, I don't want to say that machine malfunctioned because it didn't malfunction. Some bonehead decided to, like, set it up so that it was recording something else, and I didn't know that. So instead of recording the show, I recorded a TV program, and, well, we don't want to put that up on the internet, so... Jones, fortunately, because you think all these things through so carefully, you also record the show at your home.
Yeah.
And you've been instructed to go back to your home and take this recording and turn that into the internet.
Well, not this recording that we're doing now.
No, the recording of the show.
The recording of the show that
you'll make that into the internet
properly,
whatever the terminology that the kids use today is. So you'll internet it. Is that a word? No,
I don't know.
Make it digital.
I'll upload the archive.
And what this, since this was recorded at his home, and his home is not in the studio, this will actually have compression in it, so you may see a difference.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know, though, because usually the quiet people, well, the quiet people weren't there tonight.
The quiet people were away tonight. They were somewhere else, and we don't need to talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there were less people.
Yeah, but, yeah, well, I don't know. I'll be able to tell the difference.
Well, of course, you'll know, and so will I, and so will anybody who listens to this. But the point is that if you look back, you'll know that it took you longer to download the show.
Oh, yeah. I'll be up till 3 in the morning.
Well, not you. I've been talking to you, the listeners. It took them longer.
Oh.
You're listening to this on Tuesday.
Don't send me hate mail because it took me a couple extra hours to get it online.
Yeah. So you might look back on this and say, boy, what a pain in the ass it was Wednesday night because I couldn't download the show. Or maybe it's even Thursday for you now. In fact, it's Thursday for us now. Why was that? What's wrong with those people anyway? And the reason that you'll now find out on Tuesday is because we didn't have a good recording of it, and Jones has to go all the way back to his home to do this for you. And he is doing this for you out of the kindness of his heart. So show a little gratitude, all right? I mean, all this bitching and hemming and hawing, you know, I mean, we don't have to be doing any of this crap. We could be having fun. We could be living our lives. You know, we could be traveling on the high seas and going up into the space shuttle and whatever else people are doing these days. Instead, here we are stuck in New York doing radio for a bunch of ingrates who really couldn't give a crap.
That's kind of harsh.
You know, you're right. I'm so bitter. Why is that? What's going on?
We used to get a lot more hate mail, but I think people have mellowed out.
Yeah, but now I'm the one mailing the hate mails.
Yeah.
I don't know. I gotta look into my attitude lately because I just feel like there's something more out there and I just don't know what it is.
I remember we got an email once where they were like, oh, well, why does it take so long to get the show online? I guess it's because you have to do a lot of editing first. And the truth is we have to do a lot of eating first.
You guys are still here?
Yeah, we're recording a show for next week, actually, for the other radio station.
I was wondering if you were just standing outside and waiting for us to open again.
We decided to camp out and take every moment of this place while it's still here.
Right on.
But, yeah, you'll see a lot of us.
All right.
So, yes, the people of Alt Coffee are getting a little nervous now that we're standing outside the place. And
they're holding vigil.
Not leaving. Yeah, you know, maybe people should come and hold a vigil. Just let them know how much it matters. Yeah, right on. Honk your horn. Do whatever you have to do. I'm going to miss this place if it goes away. It better not go away. Take care of my cafe while I'm away.
I'll try.
All right. Because, yeah, I'm going to be traveling somewhere overseas next few weeks, and I won't be here for the last day, but oh well, that's just kind of the way it goes. So what else? Well, gosh, anything in the state of the world or state of technology that you want to talk about in the minutes we have left, which aren't very many?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, imagine you're actually at the radio station, because you never get to be there. You're always driving in and doing behind the scenes stuff, so now here's your chance. Although it's not the same audience, not the same station, here's your chance to actually contribute.
Well,
contribute something else. I'm not saying you don't contribute anything.
Put me on the spot.
Yeah, well, that's the idea, you know. We're standing on the spot, so we have to do this. Well, why do you think of that? Let me just say, I'm not here this week. I'm on recording this week because I had to be somewhere else. Not Austin. I was in Austin last week, but this week I got an appointment someplace. I could only get it on Tuesday. I said, well, I'm going to have to figure out how to do my show without being there. What better way than to sort of share a little bit of the off the hook before and after, the spirit behind that, and maybe educate some people about what we go through every week. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do anyway. We're standing outside because they won't let us stay inside anymore. And, yeah, here you are. Yeah, this is it. So, yeah. I told you we should have gone drinking. Right? We had a lot more to talk about.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, any particular issues, bones of contention, things that we need to fix or straighten out, things that we're planning this year? We just finished the spring issue.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, we got that done.
Good.
Everything sort of happened at once. I had to go to Austin, finish the spring issue over there, and work on a bunch of other things. We're still trying to save Hotel Pennsylvania, and we're planning for the conference in the summertime over in Germany. Are you going to that?
No, I can't this year.
Okay. Well, it's only every 4 years, you know, the Chaos Communications Congress camp?
That's true.
Well, Chaos Communications Camp, I think is what they call it.
I've been meaning to go to one of the camp things that happen every 2 years. There's one every 2 years. It alternates, right? Because we do a thing, and then they do a thing, and then we do a thing.
What happens is, we get the even years with Hope.
Yeah.
And then the Dutch get every 4 years, and then the Germans get every 4 years, and they alternate on the odd years.
So I think I might go to the Dutch one. I've been wanting to go to a camp thing for a while, but...
Camp thing?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, well, that's good. It is very late. So what you're saying then is that you'll plan to go on one of these things in 2009.
Yeah. Well, this year I'm going a lot of places. I only have so many days I can take off of work, but, you know, there's things that are going on. Like Dayton, we're going to Dayton.
Are you going to Dayton? I'm not sure if I'm going to Dayton yet.
I might. If everything works out right, I might get to fly to Dayton on a private plane.
I was suggesting that you guys come to Austin in October.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, Phil from Make is going to be part of the Makers Fair, whatever they call it. There's also going to be one in California the exact same weekend as Dayton. But the one in October is going to be pretty cool, too. We could all go down there and have fun in that city.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd do that.
So there's that to look forward to and all kinds of other fun stuff. So, yeah, there's always something to do, always something in the hacker world that's of interest to a lot of people. And, of course, there's Hope next year, which we don't know what the name of it will be yet. We don't know if the hotel will still be standing.
It's a tightly guarded secret.
Well, it's so tightly guarded that we don't even know it yet.
Yes.
That's as tight as you can get.
Yes. Although I hope forums are kicking, apparently. There's a lot of stuff going on.
And, you know, I'd like for more people to join the Hope forums, talk.hope.net. Just join us and brainstorm as to things we can do for the next Hope and ways to save the hotel and maybe some other hacker-related issues as well. Everything from 2600 to Off the Hook we talk about there. It's a load of fun.
Yep.
More fun than you can imagine. And, what else? Let's talk a little bit about, in the time that we have left, which doesn't seem to be going nearly as fast as I thought it would. But if you stretch time out by pausing, it'll take a little bit quicker.
Take a moment to reflect.
Take a moment to reflect. Yes, everybody just take a few seconds. Your involvement with Off the Hook, maybe we could look at that a little bit in detail, how you got dragged into this thing that you can't seem to
get away from. you know, it's fun. I think it all started... I actually, this is a secret about me. I moved to New Jersey from Pennsylvania a long time ago, and that's when
legally,
I...
Legally? You're not like a refugee from...
Yeah, I was legally, you know.
Papers are in order.
Yeah, I wasn't running from the law or anything. I moved here. I found out... I started reading 2600 Magazine.
Wait, why did you have to move to New Jersey to read 2600?
You've never been to Pittsburgh, have you?
I believe they have Carnegie Mellon over there. Don't they have a few people who know how to use computers?
Probably, yeah. I don't know. I was kind of in a little suburb. I didn't get out much. So I came to New Jersey, heard about 2600. I found out... I think I actually went to a Hope conference.
These guys are cops. Look at that. Those guys... See, and they're being followed by cops. Those are so cops.
They just ran a red light.
Yeah, they ran a red light. They were driving on the wrong side of the road, and they were big and fat. And I oh, man, I made them right away. They were cops.
The car there and not the people inside.
Yeah, and then, no, the people inside.
Oh, I couldn't see them.
Totally. They were big, fat slobs. And right behind them was a real police car. And he's not pulling them over. He's following them. But I looked at those guys. I'm very proud of myself. I looked at those guys and said, those are cops.
That's good.
Yeah. That's what you do. Well, that's a real cop, yeah. But those were, and it's incredible to me how people here, I'm sorry to, like, take away from your story, but we'll go back to it in a second. But it amazes me here how, like, the cops just go through the red lights, you know, like they don't even exist. And there's so many of them. There's another one, you know, and it's like the laws don't apply to them. They don't, you know, they're above the law. They can do whatever they wish.
Right.
And we just love it here in the East Village. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go back. You escaped from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And you made it by the skin of your teeth to New Jersey to safety. You found 2600 and it saved your life. Is that what you were telling us?
Something like that. No, I think I read about the radio show in the magazine, and then I started listening to it on the radio, and then I got a cable modem, And back in the day, that was when you were actually, Pork Chop was running the whole online streaming thing, and he was always looking for people to help with that. So I sent him an email and said, hey, I've got all this bandwidth now. What can I do to help? And that was the beginning of the end. I got...
What year was that?
Okay, I don't even remember. It's been so long ago.
But which was your first Hope?
The second one.
So Beyond Hope. That Beyond was 1997. Hope.
Yeah, so it was shortly after that, I think.
And it was shortly after that, too, that Pork Chop. I'm glad, by the way, you got his name right as opposed to Guy last week.
Piggy Face.
You called him Piggy Face.
Yeah,
I mean,
kind of
that was
funny.
Just disrespectful. Piggy Face. But, Pork Chop, as his proper name is his name he was born as.
Yes.
He, after Beyond Hope, actually got us a real audio stream, did something that we had been thinking about doing for a long time, but he actually made it happen. And that was a very historic moment. In fact, if you go back to the early shows back, which we didn't think it was the early shows back then, but I guess now they are, you'll hear when we first made our tentative steps. And I remember we did like a radio show that was also a real audio radio show. And we were like watching how many people were listening. And we were so excited by the fact that, hey, somebody in New Hampshire is listening to us. And someone all over the world might be listening to us.
That was exciting, yeah. Now it's like, oh, well.
Now we don't care.
Don't care.
Calling from Singapore, big deal.
We expect, actually, when we get calls from New York, we're not disappointed, but we're like, oh, you know, you're not from Wyoming.
No matter who calls. I mean, you know, basically, this is the problem with the world growing smaller. You just lose interest in it. Now, if somebody calls from Mars or Neptune, okay, maybe I'll perk up a little bit and listen to what they have to say, but... You know, all these other people, what are they going to tell me that I haven't heard already?
I don't think we broadcast to Mars.
Well, yeah. Actually, we do, because it's an FM signal.
Well,
my understanding is that FM just travels straight out.
That's true.
And I think our first shows are reaching Pluto now.
It'd be hard for them to call in, though.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what kind of calling plans they might have out there, but if they had something that enables them to reach us, I'm sure with the right digits they could do it. But they haven't. And also, you know, time travel... Hello, you know, if time travel is possible, certainly you guys can do something and, you know, reach us that way. But they haven't. They're not here. Come here right now, you know, and they're not. They're not here.
Well,
you know where we are.
That's right.
So, time travel is impossible. We've just proved that. All right. Well, you know, I think we should wrap it up here on Avenue A.
Yeah.
It's late at night. We're both pretty depressed and just want to go home and try and live our lives until we have to do this again next week. As another bicyclist almost gets hit by a cab. Where are the cops now? They're just running red lights on Avenue B. That's unreal. It's a nice street. I like standing here and just watching all the drunk people go by and all the dogs being walked. And it's fun. You know, it's unique. It's different. All right, final words of wisdom as we sign off here on Avenue A. Thanks for listening, folks, and keep on listening because we'll be here for you to spread the word about whatever it is we're talking about next week on Off the Hook, next week on Off the Wall. It's what we do.
That's right.
And maybe someday we'll do a behind the scenes of 2600 Magazine and the fun that goes into putting that out as well, because that's a whole other carnival ride.
Yeah. Are you going to do a behind the scenes of Off the Wall for Off the Hook?
You know, that's an idea, too.
So many combinations.
Well, I gotta say, I enjoy doing Off the Hook a lot more than I enjoy doing Off the Wall. Because, I mean, Off the Wall, all seriousness aside, is like, it's something that, it's like getting your toenails pulled out, you know, after having acid poured over them.
Wow, really?
It's that bad? It's sort of like that. I mean, I haven't done both of those at the same time, but I have done both of those individually. And, yeah, that sort of reminds me of what it's like to do Off the Wall. And certainly from a listener point of view, I know it's something like that as well.
Sounds like you've been doing this for too long.
Yeah, that's what a lot of listeners say. Well, anyway, until next week, when we have another action-packed edition of Off the Wall, and until tomorrow night, when we have another fun-filled, exciting hour of Off the Hook, this is Emmanuel Goldstein standing here with Jens on Avenue A, wishing you the best of all worlds, and... keep thinking positive, because that's what we try to do. And I think we should serve as role models for everyone else out there.
No, she didn't.
Sounds good.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.